welcome to the Spinfoil Theory Podcast with your host, Taylor B. and the Bagels.
Hello!
And a very special guest host, Iceman 1H. How are you doing, sir?
Hey, I'm good. I'm good. Hope you guys are well.
Groovy. Yeah. Glad to have you on here. If you guys don't know, Iceman, or Mark, as his friends like me call him sometimes, is a phenomenal streamer, very great at the game. If you haven't checked out his Twitch channel, like, please do. Like super phenomenal guy, super positive, super great to be around. And that's why we've invited him on our show.
Because I appreciate that.
Just getting some housekeeping out of the way, if you've never listened to us before, this is more of a little bit of an advanced theory lore for Destiny 2 the game podcast. And that isn't to say we're exclusive about anything. If you have any questions, please feel free to reach out to us, and we'll give you some context at the end of the show. But going into it, we kind of expect everyone to have like some kind of idea of like what we're talking about. Like if we say a name, like, you know, we expect you to at least like know who that is. And that's just sort of for the purposes of this recording. So, you know, if you need more introductory stuff or you want some help, like, kind of understanding what we're talking about, please feel free to reach out to us. But we're just not going to cover that stuff to teach in this recording. So with that out of the way, rather, the Bagels, why don't you tell us about this week's theory?
Alrighty. So this week's question is the Black Garden, is it a throne world for Coria? So last week we did our session on Crota's throne world on Luna, and it kind of spun me down a rabbit hole a little bit, and I stumbled on a post by Moin Imran 6 on the lore subreddit, and I was like, this is interesting. So the basic premise is that we know how Crota ended up being tricked into cutting a pathway in Oryx's throne world for the Vex to come pouring through. And eventually this gave rise to Coria, the Vex mind. Coria being the Vex mind that deciphered the sword logic and eventually figured out that fighting Hive with their own methods was much more effective than basically stumbling around trying to build around in Oryx's throne world. So the concept is that in order to further fulfill this logic, Coria went ahead and constructed the Black Garden as its own throne world.
So that's pretty fucking interesting. I always wondered, because you know how when you go into the Black Garden, there's that big, like, ubi orb of darkness that, like, spills into those three statues, and then, oh my god, the statues come to life? Yeah, dude. Oh, and dude, you remember that fucking mission, Mark? That was like...
Oh, yeah. That mission was so exciting the first time I did it, and not exciting at all the next, like, 28 times.
Remember when they made the heroic version?
Oh, yep. Forever burned in my memory.
So it always made me wonder. So that, like, little orb of darkness that feeds into those statues... You see it again later, like in season 9, like a couple seasons ago, when we went on the moon, like that same black, like, tumultuous blob thing is an arrival you can do. You can set it on your, it's the seasonal one, in fact, that you can set on your ship to where when you spawn, like, you, like, burst out of that same, like, orb of goo. And I'm not even gonna lie, it doesn't sound too dissimilar to the description in the K1 stuff with Shadowkeep that was released. That, you know, in the anomaly, that thing in the center, the thing that looks like it's a Rasputin core.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that thing, if you read the K1 anomaly stuff, is apparently, like, that same sort of, like, pit of darkness, like, a tumultuous, like, blob of influencing evil.
Interesting.
I'll call it. And so I definitely am here for the connection of especially since, you know, if you go back to, like, who Quarry is, it's kind of like the first person to make, you know, a Hive God bleed. They were able to fight back, like, even if it's not against Oryx, you know, himself, he's able to fight back, she's able to fight back against the Hive for hundreds of years because they did that. Like, that's how long Oryx was gone. It was just hundreds of years while the Vex spilled into the Dreadnought. So, like, I
that's the slowest spill I've ever heard. A spill happening over hundreds of years, dude. That's like molasses coming out of a tree.
Actually, not to dip into the real world too much, but in Hawaii, the Arizona is still leaking oil.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. That's where the true darkness is, apparently.
Yeah. In ancient horrific war relics, like I'm here for. But yeah, so the Bengals, I'm totally here for the premise. I think it makes sense, but like I'm a little iffy, I think, on the connection specifically between Quoria and the Black Garden, because I feel like there's a little bit of gymnastics we would need to do to make that to work. Like, is that part of the poster's theory, or is that something that like they didn't really address?
It's a little bit vague on how Quoria basically connects into there. She clearly creates, so there's part 43 of the Books of Sorrow. Mm-hmm. She states that she's trying the religious tactics it evolved in the Hive Manifold. So it's pretty clear that at this point in time, she is attempting to create some sort of worship process for the Vex that are following her in order to attempt to emulate the darkness. In order to defeat the Hive. She has studied a worm, in fact, at this point, in order to try and establish what paracausal properties it has, because it's clear that she's established that much. And as a result, so she's created subunits. Now, how they get to... how it gets to the point where she would be creating the Black Garden is a little bit funky, but we don't know a whole lot about creating throne worlds, even like fairly well documented instances of the Mindbender creating his throne world after the death of Cade.
I feel like that was kind of an air quotes throne world, though. Like, he was kind of like a fan fiction in the carving out your world in the darkness. That's just my opinion.
Okay. That's fair.
Oh, I meant that to be funny. I'm sorry, guys.
Oh, okay. I mean, it very well could be that it's just,
you had me fooled, Taylor. It sounded really good.
Exactly. You know, I need to work on my deadpan delivery because apparently it's too good.
You got me, apparently. it's a little bit unclear how the Mindbender actually was able to achieve that. The only documented case of basically anybody actually creating their throne world is basically Oryx sticking out his sword into the Ascendant Realm and cutting out a section of it. And past that, we don't know what the process is for creating a throne world. We don't know what's required besides, in the case of sword logic, you being able to basically kill a lot of opponents to do so. It's pretty vague.
I would only add this to try and flesh it out in terms of the theory is just that we do know how like the throne worlds operate, and I imagine their creation sort of plays into that. So like your will has to be immutable. You have to be the strongest old person in there. So I'm imagining when they carve out this space in the Ascendant Realm, it's sort of like that, like this is my territory type of thing.
Let it be so, sort of thing.
Yeah, like almost like gang warfare or GTA type of thing.
I'm the kingpin, therefore this is my territory now.
That's right, Grove Street. But but yeah, so I think this has a lot of a lot of play. Like Mark, what do you think? Based on what you've heard so far, like how do you feel about the theory? How do you feel about all that?
I don't see why it's not possible, to be honest. It's exciting to hear about, like, the Vex have been around for so long at this point. We have really no idea what they are, where they came from still. We just know that they slowly pour through things like molasses over hundreds of years, apparently. And they take over worlds and they drain worlds. But to have some kind of origin of them, this would make sense. And the Black Garden, we still don't really know that much about. It's been talked about a lot, connected to a lot, but there's no definitive this is what the Black Garden is. So it's plausible. I don't see why not.
I really appreciate that. I think those are a lot of the points I was thinking of making. Good call there, Mark. So
just getting way ahead of you, Taylor. you got my lore gears grinding, man.
Dude, that's what's up. And honestly, like anything as we're going on, like please like chime in, like raise your verbal hand and like add it to the pot that we're stirring up here.
Yeah. Absolutely. I'm just kind of fascinated by hearing the theories and what you guys know behind them so far. But go ahead.
We know. So here's a couple of the problems that I'm having with it. I'll start on that road now. The idea that it belongs to Quoria, and so Throne Worlds, as we kind of discussed last week, the bagels, Throne Worlds are kind of like an upside down, if you're a fan of Stranger Things, or like a mirror version of the space that they occupy in the Ascendant Realm. So that would mean that the Dreadnought, or Quoria, or Savathun, who Quoria is given to after she's taken by Oryx at the end of that conflict, was near Venus. Like, that's... Or, I'm sorry, not near Venus, near Mars. Sorry, guys. Like, that would mean that they were, like, in our solar system, or near it, or, like, it was possible to get there, like, pretty easily. And then, like, the Vex showed up and started creating the thing. And I know that, like, with the Vex, you always have to think about time travel shenanigans. Like, I think, you know, fans of the show, like, people who have, like, read my, like, the bagels, I'm sure, has at this point my my posts over the years on Destiny lore. I think time travel shenanigans, like, especially when the Vex, like, appear to be from the future in their origin, by way of the past. Like, I think there's definitely room for them having, like, shown up later and then supplanted themselves. But we just don't have any... We have
to have a base somewhere, right? Because, I mean, Osiris was trying to track them for so long. And he was going through all these alternate timelines and future past, future squared, divided by 18.
Which is the hardest number to divide.
They have to have a spot where they originated from, though, and we don't know what that is.
Yeah, and to your point with Osiris, like he notes that when they show up on Mercury, it was like they had always been there.
Right.
And so I think there is room for it, them like showing up later and then sort of supplanting themselves on Mars, because we know from the Ishtar Collective. The Grimoire, not the site, though. Shout out to the site. You guys are great. We know that from those cards in D1 that the Vex were one of the first things they encountered there, and when they encountered them, it didn't make sense that they had been there for so long, right? So, I mean, arguably, they could have been in the process of supplanting themselves. At that point. So I think there's room for it, but we don't have that, like, connective passage to say, because the Vex are very compartmentalized, right? You have the Hezen Collective, you have the Hezen Corrective, and those are like the two people you find within the Vault of Glass. Those are your boys who worship the darkness that we see again later. But then we have Vex who are afraid of those guys and don't want anything to do with them and run away from them, we find out, and I think season 9 lore, is that right, the bagels?
That sounds right. I'd have to go back and check, but yeah.
You know, Tildy season 9, around season 9
lore. Yeah, that was a very vexy season, so it seems appropriate.
Yeah. So to me, it feels like yeah, it's in the realm of plausibility, but I like for it to be a sure thing, I need that connective passage. Like I need that little bit. What do you guys think?
I don't necessarily think that the Black Garden is a mirror of our solar system. It definitely could, a mirror of a portion of our solar system. It could definitely be a mirror of some other part of the universe. I'm not really challenging that it could be a portion of the Ascendant realm even. My thought process is more so that the Black Garden was actually terraformed by the Traveler. That's kind of what I'm leaning towards. I'm going back to D1 lore here, Legend of the Black Garden. I am Pujari. These are the visions I have had of the Black Garden. The Traveler moved across the face of the Iron World. It opened the earth and stitched shut the sky. It made life possible. In these things, there is always symmetry. Do you understand? This is not the beginning, but it is the reason. So that's in reference to the Black Garden. It sounds like the Black Garden was created by the Traveler from that. And to build on that, we know that the seed of darkness that is in the garden, we know that upon our destruction of it, the Traveler pretty much immediately started healing, either at a faster pace or just entirely started healing again post our incursion into the Black Garden in D1 in the final mission. So there definitely seems to be a direct connection from the Black Garden to the Traveler, even if we can't believe this Pujari. I don't know a whole lot about him outside of this lore card, but it definitely seems like there's some sort of connection there. That's one of my major holes in this theory, that the Black Garden was created by Coria. Now, that's not to say that Coria couldn't have co-opted it for her own purposes. She certainly could have, and it seems like she did. Either in introducing Vex that were going to worship the darkness into the Black Garden, or something similar to that. It definitely seems like she's connected somehow still.
I can dig that. I have some thoughts.
Yeah,
on that.
No, I like that. I like that.
You like that? You're in sort of like a agreement with that assessment there, Mark?
Yeah. Yeah, I honestly couldn't think of anything better to answer that question. So nice job, Beggles.
So the only thing I kind of want to submit in addition to that, like yes and, is just to like think about, is when we finished the Black Garden mission, when we started it, we were on Mars, and when we ended it, we were back on Mars, in an identical spot to where we had been right before we defeated the boss, except now we were back on Mars.
So you're thinking that the Black Garden is a direct mirror of that spot on Mars, or it's
I'm
somehow
more thinking
directly...
it's a Vex thing. I'm more thinking it's like the Vault of Glass.
Okay.
How you know, like if you guys remember in D1, after the raid, after like canonically like the Vault of Glass had been broken, we go back a couple DLCs later and we're like going through it, but it doesn't have the same, like when we go through and we get the Praedith's ghosts, and I think that was like Rise of Iron or either the one like right before it, for example, like we go back in there and the same things aren't at stake. Like it was kind of like the Vex had taken this space that existed in the real world and sort of constructed a pocket around it that allowed it to do what they wanted it to. So, not to say that the Vex worshipping the darkness isn't a thing, but I'm sort of thinking that's kind of maybe what was happening with the Black Garden, is that, like, worshipping this, like, section of darkness, this, like, writhing thing that ended up feeding into the statues that we fought, I think they, like, instead of really, like, fully adhering to the Hive, like, sword logic, like, carving out your own thing, I think they did the Vex thing, and I think they constructed, like, sort of, like, a pocket around that space.
That's kind of what I've been leaning towards as well. The Vault of Glass is the Vex approximation of a throne world. That's kind of what I've been leaning
towards. Or it's their version of building a thing that taps into the darkness.
Yep. Yep, something very similar to that thought process. Yep.
So then was Atheon being fueled by the darkness?
Kind of
like,
what was
Atheon in that?
He was doing his own thing. As far as I know, like, they weren't part of the Hezzan Corrective or Collective, if I recall correctly.
Okay.
Like, that's not who you fight in the Vault of Glass.
Yeah, that's it is.
That's who you fight in the Black Garden. You fight the Descendants, and you fight the Precursors in the Vault of Glass. And then you fight the Gorgons, obviously, and, like, whatever, like, special name unit you have. But you don't fight, like, the Hezzan Corrective or the Collective.
The final boss, though, is Atheon, right? Or am I
the final
insane?
Boss is Atheon. You're not insane there. But, like, he's not... I don't see any reason to connect Atheon with the worship of the darkness.
Interesting. Because if you're saying that the Vault of Glass might be that, you would think that the end-all, be-all entity within the Vault of Glass, Atheon, would have some kind of, like, semblance to Crota or Oryx or... You know, those guys that are overlording their realm, their throne world.
I see what you're saying. So the Vault of Glass was the conflux of time, right? It was, I think that was like a very heavily like Vex thing. Like they needed that to connect different... Because, you know, it's very confusing in Destiny because they refer to virtual timelines like you find in the Infinite Forest with the same personhood as they would, like, an actual timeline like the one we play in game.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little confusing there. But, like, my understanding is whether it be virtual or not, the Vault of Glass was, like, a conflux of all these, sort of like a central networking computer, like, right? Like that,
together.
Like that's the server.
Okay, I got you.
The Vault of Glass, where I was comparing them, was I think they did like a similar thing, because once we shatter the Vault of Glass, you're kind of like back in regular time when you go back in there. Like, you can still talk with Ikora and you can talk with different people. Back at the tower while you're in there in those missions.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, quite similarly, when you finish the Black Garden, you know, like the shell breaks off, the sky changes back, and you're like, you're back on Mars, your ghost tells you. Miss Peter Dinklage.
Rip Peter Dinklage, man.
Well, he's still alive, listeners. In case,
right. In game, figuratively.
but that's where I was going with it. I think these Vex that worship the darkness, which there are, the Hezzan boys. I think that's what they were doing in the Black Garden. Is I think they were taking a Vex approach to it, which was to sort of, like, shell off this space that existed within time. I think they were trying to do something similar to the Vault of Glass, but they were, like, worshipping the darkness the whole way. As opposed to carving out, like, a throne world or an opposite space or something like that.
Hmm.
Is sort of what my read of the situation is.
So, do you think that the Vex in the Black Garden, they were trying to bring out the Vault of Glass as, like, a means to merge all timelines together where the Vex basically had control over time and space? Or is it just they were basically just entirely isolated. I don't think isolated is the right word, because they're definitely connected. But I guess, can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah, so I think they're doing their own thing.
Okay.
I think the Vex that were within the Vault of Glass would have been the same Vex that got creeped out around the Hezen Vex that we read about subsequently. And I think the largest reason lore-wise we can really attribute them to being connected, at least at this point in the D1 campaign, is that the Exo Stranger sends us to both of those.
True.
And so, like, she kind of has her own agenda and own, like, story thing going on. And I think that's the connection as to why we, like, went from one to the other, and that's how it escalated, as opposed to them being connected.
Okay. Do you think the Exo Stranger plays a key role in the future when it comes to figuring out who the Vex are, really, and like the darkness coming and everything that's involved with that?
I would be super jazzed about it, because I've had this theory that it's on our list, I think, but I've had this, or it's one we talked about with one of our episodes, is did the Exo Stranger leave the Kvostov for us in the opening D1 mission? And it's the whole crux of the theory is she's traveling backwards in time, and, like, we're moving forward. So, like, the first time we meet her, for her, I think is going to be much later in game if and when they bring her back.
Okay.
And so, to me, like, that's going to be really cool. Like, yes, I do think she plays a vital role into why we've overcome a lot of things that honestly, if you go back and look at her cards in D1, like, she called Vex on the moon.
Mm-hmm. She was wondering why the Vex weren't there.
Yeah. She called Vex on the moon way back in year one of D1.
Huh.
And one of the interesting things about the Exo Stranger is that she not only questioned why they weren't there, but she, because she sees that they are there now, I believe, as I understand it, is afraid of our timeline basically merging into the eventual downfall that the other timelines are, that being that the Vex basically take over the timeline.
Yeah, like, even though she hasn't been in game since the vanilla of D1 campaign, she's been in the lore, and it's always funny to hear what she has to say, because, like, if you look at it from the standpoint that, like, she's experiencing things in, like, sort of like a Benjamin Button type of way, as we are, it kind of makes sense that she's, like, confused about stuff in later installments, and how she sounds, like, so sure about things back in D1, back in the vanilla, and what she's doing, and, like, where to send us, and, like, what to tell us.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And
I would love to see a lot of these things tied back from D1, D2. There's a lot of loose ends that we still don't know, and they keep, like you said, popping back up in lore cards and different places in lore. I would love to start seeing a lot of these things tied together, like when Saint 14 and Osiris got finally tied together a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
That felt so good.
Right.
There's so much opportunity for things like that to happen, especially with the Vex. The Vex are just still the giant enigma. And they're where they come from, the original topic, the throne worlds, how they might relate, the Black Garden. To have some of these things tied together and a lot of things all at once, I think would blow people's minds.
You know, and I think that's something me and the Bagels have been talking about these last few weeks. I think it's something that they're really trying to work for now in these recent seasons. It's trying to tie and thread all the loose ends together in this, like, great lore tapestry.
It definitely feels that way right now. It seems like everything's leading to something.
Yeah.
Like they threw in Shadowkeep, the revelation, and the Kraken Mare lore books, mm-hmm. with seemingly very little connection other than the anomaly map from D1, basically. And then all of a sudden, these things are tying together in these later seasons, and you're saying, oh. He just quoted verbatim the Kraken Mare Rasputin destroying the ship scene, basically.
Dude, speaking of Rasputin, I'm still wondering. So if you this is a bit of a tangent, a little off topic, but if you look in the on the wall in Io, there's like a little like map he has of the solar system, Mark.
Mm-hmm. I've seen it.
And at the end of it,
the Black Doritos coming.
Yeah, so at the end of it, that's beyond the Kuiper Belt. I'm sorry if I'm pronouncing it wrong, space nerds out there listening. But it's out beyond like the far edge of our solar system, and I'm wondering what that celestial body is like meant to be.
There was a post on that recently.
I mean, it's way too big to be Pluto. That would be number 9, as far as like I've been taught. But I'm like a dirty millennial who was taught that we had 9 planets.
You darn millennials.
With our double space and after periods and our 9 planet solar systems.
There was a theory recently where people were speculating that that is the planet that the Drifter was on with the
the darkness that would eat your ghost as a present.
Exactly, yeah. And I thought that was pretty cool if they could tie that in and make an expansion out of that. Basically, we go to that planet.
We gotta reclaim Neptune and Uranus before.
I'm hoping that's next season. To be honest, that we're
not in that order, guys.
The Crusade for Uranus.
That's the next expansion. Like, quote me right here. That's our big predict. Well, all right, guys. I think we're doing pretty well in discussion. I think that was pretty well rounded out. What is everyone's final thoughts? Let's start with the bagels.
I'm leaning pretty heavily against this being a fact that Coria basically built the Black Garden as a throne world, or even that she co-opted it as a throne world per se. I'm going to give it probably around a negative 10 on the probability scale for being likely. Yeah.
I can dig it. What about you, Sir Iceman? What do you think?
I'll go for a negative 5 as well. I don't think there's not a lot of other links outside of kind of the tinfoil theories that this might be a throne world type. I think it might have been some type of like altar, like worship altar type thing. I don't think it was like a home world, throne world type thing for them. If I'm being honest. So
if I'm gonna take a page out of y'all's book, I'm gonna go with also a minus 5. I think there's enough room for it to where if they do some gymnastics in supplementary lore, they could make it work. But until then, like, nah, it's less than real. Like right now, it's sort of where I put that. Awesome. So, all right, guys, like shout outs, the bagels, any shout outs?
Just shout out to Mark for coming on here. It's been a blast, and, I've enjoyed playing with you, even if it's been a little bit of time.
It's been a little bit.
But, yeah, no, it's great hearing you, and I appreciate you coming on. So yeah, you got any shout outs, Mark?
Shouts to you guys for having me. It's a blast. And all the work you're doing with it, it's awesome. And then just shouts to the community, Destiny community, mine community on Twitch, awesome people. That's it.
All right, awesome. Taylor? Well, big shout out to Iceman1H. Please check out his Twitch. Thank you again for being our guest. This was a lot of fun. Very honored to have you as our first regular episode guest. This is amazing. Very glad to have you on here.
It's been an honor for me, dude.
Oh, thank you. And a shout out to you know all the people right now in these quarantines who are doing cool shit like working and making non-contact delivery possible and putting themselves out there and doing
so
the hard
true.
Work
to, all the healthcare workers and everyone in the lines the whole time. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Like Mark was saying, just everyone out there who's doing from the little things to the big things to keep us going. Like, thank you so much. And I hope we provided you a little entertainment in what little time you probably have off. If you would like to find us, you can find our podcast at Spinfoil Theory on Twitter. You can find me on Twitter at This Is Red Leader, LITRE, all one word. You can find us on Podbean at the Spinfoil Theory podcast. We are also a proud member of the Lore Network, which is a great thing to check out if you're into lore about Destiny or other games. Mark, where can they find you officially?
Everything's basically Iceman_1H, the number 1. on Twitter, Twitch, and then all my other links are basically on Twitter as well, to YouTube, Instagram, all those good things. So Iceman underscore 1H is basically it.
Groovy, and I'm glad it's number one, because you are number one.
Oh, thanks, man.
At least in my heart.
It warms the heart. It warms the heart. Or that could just be the wine, but you know.
All right. Well, the Bagels, is there anywhere they can find you that I didn't list already? Do you have like some secret communique?
I'm everywhere. Find me in LFG, find me wherever you think you can find me, or find me in Savathun's pocket. You name it.
I can dig it. I can dig it. Well, everyone, with that, thank you for tuning in, and bye-bye.
Bye.
See ya.